Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for giving us the Bible and for giving it to us in our own language. We pray, O God, that you will give us a greater hunger and thirst for the truth of your word. And we ask you, Father, to grant that your Spirit would come upon us in a refreshing way this evening, opening our eyes and hearts to the truth about us and the truth about Jesus Christ. And as a result of the word this evening, Lord, we pray, cause each and every one of us to glorify you, our great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have three short texts for this evening on this subject of praying without ceasing. Three short texts. The first from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. This is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, as you know, that the Lord Jesus was teaching. And in this, he said something about prayer. And we look at these two verses from Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. The Lord Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." My second text is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. This is in the midst of Ephesians 5, 18. Chapter 5, verse 18. This is in the midst of, it is chapter 2, 18. This is not what I was going to say. But this is where Paul is talking about how Christ has reconciled Jew and Gentile together in one body in his church. And then he writes in Ephesians 2:18, "For through him," that is Christ, "for through Christ we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." And you see there all three persons of the Trinity mentioned. Through him, Christ, we both have access by the Spirit to the Father. And finally, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's where I thought I was before. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where Paul is giving a number of exhortations to the Christians at Thessalonica. And this is one of them. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." And that's the title of my message this evening, "Pray Without Ceasing." There are some things that we do every day. This morning, I imagine you did this as I did. I got up this morning, ate breakfast, and brushed my teeth. And I do that most every morning. I imagine you do too. I know some people skip breakfast and get their coffee. That's fine. But day by day, you probably brush your teeth and eat and drink. Those are the things that are necessary for our being sustained. There are things we do every day. And for Christians, there's one thing we do every day that I want to talk about this evening, and that is pray. Christian prays every day, and hopefully the Christian prays more than once every day. This evening we're going to concentrate on private prayer. There is congregational prayer, which is vitally important to the church. There is family prayer, which is extremely important, necessary for Christian families, and there is private prayer, which is needed in the individual Christian life. And some of the things I say, maybe most of them, will apply to congregational prayer and to family prayer, but I'm focusing on individual private prayer this evening. And I confess to you that I have been reading what I thought was a lot on prayer for the past number of years in an effort to improve my own prayer and be able to understand it better, and with the hope that I would be able to help others with prayer. I don't know how much other people have been reading on prayer, and that's why I can't measure it, but I thought I was reading a lot about prayer to the point where I said to myself several times, why don't you stop reading and start praying? Which I believe that there are so many temptations and distractions to draw us away from prayer, that even reading about prayer can draw us away from prayer. We have to keep these things in balance. So that's one thing I learned. Well, one thing that came to my mind. I'm not promising I learned it yet, but that's one thing. Pray without ceasing. A person's prayer life says almost everything about that person. What a person does in private when no one else is around reveals the character inside the heart of that person. And prayer is one of those things that the Christian does. It tells a lot about our relationship to the Lord and our standing with Him. It's like a spiritual thermometer. And this past year or so, year plus, we have had our temperatures checked a lot. Have we had our spiritual temperatures checked? Think about your prayers, and you have a good indicator. One of my favorite writings on prayer is an article that J.C. Ryle wrote. J.C. Ryle wrote this article called Prayer that was included in his book, a collection of his writings, Practical Religion. In that book, on page 95, in his article on prayer, he says, and this is a few sentences, so bear with me, he says, prayer is that point of all others in religion at which you must be on your guard. Here it is that true religion begins. Here it flourishes, and here it decays. Tell me what a man's prayers are, and I will soon tell you the state of his soul. Prayer is the spiritual pulse. By this, the spiritual health may always be tested. Prayer is the spiritual weather glass. By this, we may always know whether it is fair or foul with our hearts. Oh, let us keep an eye continually upon our private devotions. Here is the pith and marrow and backbone of our practical Christianity. So writes J.C. Ryle. So tonight, pray without ceasing. First of all, the meaning of prayer. What does it mean to pray? Secondly, praying with our helpers. The Lord has given us two helpers in prayer. And thirdly, the practice of prayer, praying without ceasing. The practice of prayer, praying without ceasing. First of all, the meaning of prayer. If we are to pray without ceasing, as Paul instructed the Thessalonian Christians, and by the Spirit he instructs the entire church, if we are to do that, then we must know what prayer is. And here's a simple definition of prayer. Prayer is asking God for those, for the things which he has promised to give in his word through the mediation of Jesus Christ and with the help of his Spirit. Prayer is asking God for things which he has promised to give in his word through the mediation of Jesus Christ with the help of his Spirit. And so when we come to the matter of prayer, there's always this question. What about John 15:7? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. John 15:7. So, doesn't it say, ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you? Aren't those the words of Scripture? Aren't those the words of Jesus himself? And of course, they are. They are his words. And so some people interpret this in such a way as to think they can ask selfishly and get what they want from God. I tell you, there have been some bitter disappointments on the part of people who have undertaken this, because that's not what it means. That's isolating. The first part of the verse is, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. If we abide in Jesus Christ, and his words abide in us, then we will pray according to God's will. Now, when we pray according to God's will, when we first discover this concept, it might mean that our prayers would get shorter. It certainly means that our prayers would change. 1 John 5:14-15 say, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. 1 John 5:14-15. We must pray according to God's will. That's part of the understanding of the meaning of prayer. It means to pray according to the divine will. That's what prayer actually means. And where do we find God's will? In his word, in his holy word. That's where we find his will. And what about if we want to know God's will as to what's going to happen to me tomorrow, or what's going to happen to my relative who is ill? How do I pray for that person if I don't know God's will? You don't know God's secret will. You're not meant to know God's secret will. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things which he has revealed belong to us and our children forever. God's will, that is his revealed will. We pray according to his revealed will. His secret will, we don't know. That makes a difference in our prayers as well. So we study God's word, we pray according to his word. Jesus prayed in Matthew 26:29, "Oh my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26:29. When we are converted and grow in the Lord, our will is being molded more and more to be compatible with God's will. And thus our prayers change as we go through life, and as we mature, the way we pray changes. The content of our prayers change. And James gives us the negative of this. In James 4, verse 3, he writes, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." James 4, verse 3. Now, that doesn't mean that we should not express our desires to God. You have someone close to you who is very ill. Are you going to pray for them to be healed? Well, of course you are. And I am too. We don't know God's will as to the outcome, but we can express our desires to Him. That's good and that's right. But we don't ask selfishly to spend it on your pleasures. So the meaning of prayer, asking God for things He has promised to give through the mediation of Christ with the help of His Spirit. Furthermore, to understand the meaning of prayer, we must know that prayer is an act that is done under the guidance of the Bible. Prayer is done in connection with the Bible. God tells us how to pray in His Word. For centuries, the church has emphasized the Psalms in her worship. Some branches of the church have used Psalms for prayer, the whole book of Psalms every 90 days. Some use the whole book of Psalms every 30 days in their prayers. Our hymnals have often used readings from the Psalms. And of course, we in the Reformed tradition have sung the Psalms in our history. And the Psalms are prayers. The Psalms were, of course, written to be sung. We have musical instructions in the Psalms. And the Psalms embrace all the emotions of human life to assist us in our prayers. As we read them and meditate upon them, we are given food for prayer. But not only the Psalms, the whole Bible is instructive in prayer and useful for prayer and the key source for our prayers. Both Old Testament and New Testament give examples of prayers and give principles for prayer and instructions on prayer. All through God's Word, we see His people praying. We see examples. We see principles. But of course, as our Reformed standards have emphasized from the very beginning of the Reformation, where do we learn how to pray? The Lord Jesus Christ was asked that question. Lord, teach us to pray. And He responded with what we normally call the Lord's Prayer, the prayer He taught His disciples. It is a model. It is a pattern for our prayers. And in the next weeks, you'll be going through this prayer and studying it. And it will direct you as to things for which you should pray. The Bible guides us in prayer. We need to know that, to know the meaning of prayer. Also, we need to remember that prayer is communion with God. We look upon prayer as a duty. We are commanded to pray. We should look upon it as a duty. But it is much more. It is communion with our Heavenly Father. It is a relationship. There is a conversation. There is fellowship with the mighty God. Can you imagine that we sinners can, I hope this doesn't trivialize it, can have a talk with God? We open up this book and we read it and He is speaking to us. We then speak to Him. It is a conversation. It is a relationship. It is communion. And the more we do this, the more we grow in our relationship with Him. The meaning of prayer includes the fact that we have communion with God. Secondly, we pray with our helpers. As we pray without ceasing and have communion with God, we have helpers. So that verse in Ephesians 2, verse 18, "For through him, through Christ, we both, Gentile and Jew, have access by one Spirit to the Father." There's the Trinity. We have access to the Father. How do we have access to the Father? Through Christ. Through Christ and by the Spirit. So prayer is Trinitarian. All of worship is Trinitarian. All of worship involves Father, Son, and Spirit and the worshipers. It's very important to remember one of our helpers is Christ. One of our helpers is the Spirit. We pray to the Father through the intercession of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ and the work he did, we could pray all the prayers in the world. We could pray a million prayers that would not reach up to God. We pray through our intercessor. You know that Christ was a man of prayer himself and an example of prayer and an instructor of prayer. I quickly want to mention to you these verses in Luke. Luke, of all the Gospels, emphasizes the prayer life of Jesus. So I quickly want to mention these to you. Luke 3, 21 and 22. While Jesus was being baptized, he was praying. Luke 3, 21 and 22. Luke 6, 12 and 13. Jesus prayed all night prior to the selection of the 12. Luke 6, 12 and 13. The next one is Luke 9, 18. He prayed prior to asking his disciples who he was. And Peter made the great confession. Luke 9, 18. The next one, Luke 9, 29. He prayed during the transfiguration on the mountain. Luke 9, 29. The next one is Luke 11, 1. One of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he gave them that wonderful prayer. Luke 11, 1. The next one is Luke 22, 32. He prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail. Luke 22, 32. And finally, Luke 22, 42, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his sweat became as drops of blood. Luke 22, 42. Not only that, as an example, he was the teacher of prayers. He gave us this prayer, and he is our mediator. He gave his life on Calvary's cross, arose from the dead, ascended to heaven to give access to God, the Father, for us. And so when we make our prayers, they can be heard because if we are believers, they go through our mediator, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our mediator not only to reconcile us to God that we may be saved, but that we may approach him in prayer and have a relationship with him. And so the Father can hear our prayers. And even beyond that, as our mediator, he prays for us. Romans 8, 33 and 34, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Romans 8, 33 and 34. Now, my friends, that is something to comfort you. When you're so down, you can hardly pray. You can hardly open your mouth. Just remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to pray, and he's praying for you. He's praying for his sheep because he loves us and he saves us. and he sanctifies us. We pray through our helper, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, we pray with our helper, the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 8, 26 and 27. And here's a second blessing. Not only is Jesus Christ praying for you, God the Holy Spirit is interceding for you according to the will of God. And why do you need that? Because you have weaknesses. The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. What weaknesses, you might ask? For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. We need the Spirit. We need his prayers. And so the Spirit directs us to the Word, and we read the Word, and we find things for which we should pray, because the Word tells us the will of God. And then we look around us, and we see people having problems. And in God's providence, the Spirit helps us understand we need to pray for these people. And I tell you something else, how he helps you. There are people who are not sick, and you need to pray for them too. And the elders hand you a directory of the church. That's interesting. You have the names of the members in a list there. Well, how practical is that? Fellow believers, this one is not sick. I haven't heard about this one. Well, would you want that brother or sister to go without your prayers? No. No, you wouldn't. You would want to pray for all of them. The Spirit helps us to pray. You know, even before this, listen to what Romans 8, 15 says. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Romans 8, 15. You and I couldn't even pray. Couldn't even utter the Father's name in sincerity, except God gave us the Spirit of adoption, making us children, children who call upon their Heavenly Father. Yes, the Spirit helps us pray. While Jesus is praying for us in heaven, the Spirit is praying within us. We pray without ceasing with our two helpers. Thirdly, the practice of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that we are all sinning because you have jobs and you have not prayed 24 hours a day this past week, and because I'm a preacher and I took time to study. And there were times when I was studying when I was not praying, so I sinned in that way too. No, it doesn't mean we have to pray 24/7, of course. No one can do that. And it's certainly silly for us to say, you know, Jesus went and prayed all night before he selected the 12 apostles, so I probably should be praying all night. No, no, no. Of course not. But it does mean something, right? Pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. We live our lives from breath to breath. I know we break it down usually day to day, especially when we're having a hard time. Well, how are you doing? Well, taking it a day at a time, trying to get through the next day, and that's all we can do sometimes. I understand that. I truly understand that. And sometimes when we're really down, mentally, spiritually, or physically, we come to realize we actually do live from breath to breath. It could be taken away any time, any minute. We actually do live from heartbeat to heartbeat. I remember when I was in elementary school and we were studying health. And the textbook said, you know, the heart does this, the heart pumps this much, and the heart beats this many times a minute, probably, and the heart does this, and the heart does that, and the heart works really hard. And I'm thinking, when does the heart rest? And then the textbook says, the heart rests between beats. I'm thinking, really? The heart rests between beats? That's not much rest. Later on, you come to find out, yeah, it is fragile. Yes, it really is. Life really is. And we live as Christians from prayer to prayer. It means constant prayer. That's the way you live, from prayer to prayer. That's the way your life is. The psalmist said, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. How would you, boys and girls, like to be a cupbearer? A cupbearer carried the king's cup. And so when the king wanted some wine, his cupbearer would drink it first, because someone might try to poison the king. So how would you like to have that job? If someone poisoned the king, you had to drink it, and you would die instead of the king. Then they would get another cupbearer to protect the king. Well, that was Nehemiah's job. Nehemiah was cupbearer to the king. And so, naturally, he would see the king a lot. Well, depending on how much wine the king drank, I guess. He would see the king every day anyway. And so Nehemiah and the king become acquainted. They actually know each other. You know, not many people know the king personally, but Nehemiah did. So Nehemiah comes in one day, and the king says to Nehemiah, and I'm paraphrasing, but the king says something like, why are you so sad? I see your face. Why that sad look on your face? And he says, well, my hometown's been destroyed. My hometown has been destroyed, and I'm concerned. So the king says, what can I do for you? How can I help? And you know what Nehemiah the cupbearer did? He prayed right on the spot. He was standing in front of the king, and he didn't know how to make the request that he could go back to Jerusalem and help his people. He was concerned, and he prayed right there in his mind. And that's involved with praying without ceasing. Psalm 119, 164 says, seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Psalm 119, 164. Some of the hardest work of the church goes unseen. The saints do it on their knees, just alone. They get no praise, they get no prize, they get no money. Their reward is great, because they quietly do the Lord's work. We have to put our hearts into prayer. I sincerely believe that. I also believe that sometimes we don't have much heart for prayer. We should pray then too. Keep on praying. But I have to say this, I know it's not popular. Prayer also requires discipline. You know what I said about brushing my teeth? I do it every day. And I floss and I use the water pick. Why? Because I hate it when the digging starts, you know. And scratch, scratch, scratch. And I'm highly motivated because of that. But my relationship with God is more important than my teeth. My prayers are more important than my flossing. But that's discipline. It takes discipline. It takes discipline to do your job. And it takes discipline to be in a relationship with the Lord. Well, I want to read another selection from J.C. Ryle's article, Prayer. I will try to make this quick. It's pretty devastating, so hold on to your hats. I believe that thousands never say a word of prayer at all. They eat, they drink, they sleep, they rise, they go forth through their labor, they return to their homes, they breathe God's air, they see God's sun, they walk on God's earth, they enjoy God's mercy, they have dying bodies, they have judgment and eternity before them, but they never speak to God. They live like the beasts that perish. They behave like creatures without souls. They have not a word to say to him in whose hand are their life and breath and all things from whose mouth they must one day receive their everlasting sentence. That's harsh. That's what he wrote. Alexander White preached a sermon, and the title of this sermon was long, and the title was, "It is sometimes so with me that I will rather die than pray." That was the title of his sermon. And in that sermon, he quotes Thomas Shepherd, who said, "Men plead difficulty," that is, in praying. "Men plead difficulty. I plead advantage. For he who overcomes the indisposition to pray shall eat of the hidden manna." In spite of all that I just said, I didn't and don't want to lay a guilt trip upon you. I just want to encourage you to pray. Start where you are. If you've fallen back in prayer, if you haven't been praying much at all, if you're low in prayer right now, that's okay. We all are at times. We all are. Just start. Just pray. Just start talking to God about what's on your heart, about the people you know. If you only have 5 minutes, take 5 minutes. Don't rush. Be slow in those 5 minutes. And lay out your concerns to God and what you think He wants you to pray for. And just keep praying. And just keep up those short times with God. And be persistent. And then I believe if you do that, that your prayers will grow. And I know this, your closeness to God will grow. And I sincerely believe this, your life will change for the better. Prayer is comprehensive. It involves our whole lives. Praise God, thank God, confess your sins to God, lift up to Him your needs, your personal needs, lift up to Him the needs of others, and just pray. Pray for everything you need, spiritually and physically, and everything other people need as well. Pray to the Father through the Son with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Pray without ceasing. Amen. Let us pray. God our Father, we thank you that you hear us when we pray. Lead us, Father. Lead us, we pray, to pray. And to remember, we come to you through the mediation of Jesus, our High Priest, with the help of the Spirit. Lord, help us to pray relentlessly, sincerely, and without ceasing. Amen.